This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montaigne.
And I'm Steve Inskeep. President Bush last night called on Congress to change the Social Security retirement system. In his State of the Union address, Mr. Bush devoted more time to Social Security than any other issue, although he offered few details about the changes he would like. On foreign policy, the president gave no timetable for withdrawing U.S. troops from Iraq. And during the 53-minute address, he also said that elections in Iraq demonstrate progress toward independence, and he issued warnings to other nations that he said promote terrorism. NPR's Don Gagne reports.
President Bush struck a positive tone as he stood in the House chamber looking out over a joint session of Congress that once again featured a Republican majority. Also on hand were justices of the Supreme Court and members of the cabinet. In the gallery up above sat his wife, Laura, flanked by specially invited guests who would play a very prominent role in the proceedings before the evening was through. But first, the president's view of things in the country.
Tonight, with a healthy, growing economy, with more Americans going back to work, with our nation an active force for good in the world, the state of our union is confident and strong.
The president started with domestic issues, and practically every line he uttered was interrupted by applause and standing ovations from the Republicans. He talked of a growing economy, of his first-term tax cuts, which he says need to be made permanent, and he called for expanding his education reforms to high schools. But the biggest chunk of time went to Social Security. The president made clear he believes in big changes, including private accounts for younger workers. But he began with words of reassurance.
I have a message for every American who is 55 or older. Do not let anyone mislead you. For you, the Social Security system will not change in any way.
Polls show that older workers and retirees continue to oppose changes to Social Security. So the president is telling them, don't worry. For younger workers, his message is that without a fix, Social Security faces a shortfall that is coming soon.
For example, in the year 2027, the government will somehow have to come up with an extra $200 billion to keep the system afloat. And by 2033, the annual shortfall would be more than $300 billion. By the year 2042, the entire system would be exhausted and bankrupt. If steps are not taken to avert that outcome...
Here, the president's recitation of dates and dollars was met not with cheers, but with shouted objections from Democrats who dispute his figures and accuse him of using scare tactics. They note that the system has its own trust fund that will keep it fully solvent into the middle of the century. But the president also said that without action, the problem will only get worse, resulting in big tax hikes or benefit cuts down the road. Aside from private accounts, Mr. Bush said nothing about closing the funding gap or paying for a transition, saying he'll work with Congress on a solution. And he answered critics who say private accounts are too risky.
We'll make sure the money can only go into a conservative mix of bonds and stock funds. We'll make sure that your earnings are not eaten up by hidden Wall Street fees. We'll make sure there are good options to protect your investments from sudden market swings on the eve of your retirement.
Switching to foreign policy, the president echoed the themes of last month's inaugural address, where he talked of spreading freedom and ending tyranny in the world. Last night, he used strong language to put countries which he says support terror on notice, specifically naming Iran and Syria. The speech built toward this section on Iraq. He hailed last weekend's elections.
We will succeed because the Iraqi people value their own liberty as they showed the world last Sunday.
But Mr. Bush also insisted that he will not set an artificial timetable for U.S. withdrawal. That, he said, would only embolden the terrorists. As the speech came to a close, the president called attention to a woman who was a guest of the First Lady, Safiya Taleb al-Suhail, an Iraqi human rights activist whose father was killed by Saddam Hussein's intelligence service 11 years ago. She was greeted by huge applause and cheers from the audience. Republicans in the crowd raised their index fingers, which they had dipped in purple ink to show solidarity with Iraqis whose fingers were similarly marked to show they had voted. Then, moments later, the president spoke of a U.S. Marine from Texas, Byron Norwood, who was killed in fighting in Fallujah.
Ladies and gentlemen, with grateful hearts, we honor freedom's defenders and our military families, represented here this evening by Sergeant Norwood's mom and dad, Janet and Bill Norwood.
As the crowd cheered, Janet Norwood fought back tears until Sophia, the Iraqi woman, turned to her in the row behind and gave her a hug. It was a long, lingering embrace of sympathy and of appreciation. The moment overwhelmed everything that came before it. The president concluded with these words.
The road of Providence is uneven and unpredictable, yet we know where it leads. It leads to freedom. Thank you, and may God bless America.
The speech could scarcely have been more gratifying to the Republicans in the chamber, House Majority Leader Tom DeLay.
I've been here for 20 years. I've seen 20 State of the Union messages, and this is certainly one of the best. I think the president hit a home run in substance and in delivery.
Democrats, meanwhile, noted that despite the speech's emotional ending, the president still failed to answer some basic questions. The official Democratic response came from new Senate Minority Leader Harry Reid of Nevada and House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi of California. Pelosi criticized the president's handling of Iraq, saying he still does not have a clear plan there.
Despite the best efforts of our troops and their Iraqi counterparts, Iraq still faces a violent and persistent insurgency. And the chairman of the National Intelligence Council said in January that Iraq has become a magnet for international terrorists.
Senator Reid focused on the president's domestic agenda, calling the plan to privatize Social Security a dangerous gamble.
There's a lot we can do to improve America's retirement security, but it's wrong to replace the guaranteed benefit that Americans have earned with a guaranteed benefit cut of up to 40%. Make no mistake, that's exactly what President Bush is proposing.
In Statuary Hall, after the speech, other Democrats wondered how the president can strengthen Social Security by taking money out of the system and putting it into private accounts. Senator John Corzine of New Jersey.
I find it as baffling as I did before. There were no details that would allow anybody to really understand what we're talking about. Private accounts are going to raise the debt load on every American, including the younger generation they're supposed to help. And it builds risks in the system and takes away guaranteed accounts. Bad idea.
Democrats and Republicans alike say the president faces an extremely difficult task getting Social Security changes through a deeply divided Congress, a divide that was more than evident during the speech last night. Today, the president will begin the process of looking for votes and changing minds. He starts a two-day tour of five states: North Dakota, Montana, Nebraska, Arkansas, and Florida. Don Gagne, NPR News, Washington.
We are covering the State of the Union address throughout today's program, and you can find an overview of NPR's coverage at npr.org.